Welcome to Critical Eyes Podcast, Leadership with New Horizons. My name is Mark Barber, Director of Content at Critical Eye. And today I'm catching up with Matthew Blagg, Critical Eye's CEO, to talk about the uncertainty that senior leaders like yourselves are navigating and continue to wrestle with. Good afternoon, Matthew. How are you?
I'm extremely well. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Enjoying theoretically the spring-like weather, although it's not quite sprung fully here at the moment. It's a bit cold.
It has turned cold, hasn't it? But hopefully it'll warm up for the weekend. How are you doing? Recently got back from Singapore, didn't we?
We did. I think it was so exciting to be together with our members in the region and being able to share experiences again and expertise and come together. And there was just such an incredible energy and excitement that to be back after, you know, a solid 2 years. It was 2.5 years since I was last in the region. And so certainly it was really exciting to be there and just some really interesting insight on the back of it, wasn't it?
It's great to get those different perspectives and see what's sort of really going on with organisations and leaders out there. We'll be drawing a little bit on some of the discussions from the retreat, but looking at some of the things that we'll be looking at in retreats coming up, and also our research. We've recently released out the HRD research. I've had a little peek this morning at our forthcoming growth company research, and there's a couple of things that I'd like to put to you as well to discuss. But I mean, as a starting point, you have to look at the sort of wider economic landscape still, don't you? Because it's feeding into so many areas across so many sectors. The inflation continues to be a huge issue. I think stagflation is being talked about. I was reading about earlier on today, and I've not really been read about that since I was at college, I don't think, which was a long time ago. Supply chain disruption, and again, I think China's zero COVID strategy is causing real concern, especially as that potentially looks to extend to other cities. What's your view? Because it does seem like the pressure is building, doesn't it?
I think when we did our podcast at the sort of beginning of the year, we felt there were three issues: the sort of COVID displacement, and that's still running through.
Yeah.
The interest rate rises that we foresaw coming through, and the inflationary pressures. What I think you can do is say that we underestimated how much those were going to amplify, and obviously there's two elements to that. I think that obviously the situation in the Ukraine,
yep,
has absolutely amplified the inflationary elements, which essentially drived up energy prices, which is in everything. So, and then the secondary point is obviously the zero COVID policy in China is having massive implications on supply chain. And so what I think you can do is say that the latter two elements are hard baked now. And I think the displacement of COVID stuff still remains more complex. You know, people behaviorally are still a little bit weird. And, you know, we see that as we refresh in terms of going to different environments, people have altered their behavioral habits, and that's going to, you know, takes time to wash out. So it's a really, really complex mix. I think that any of our members now are looking at things with deeper uncertainty. As we look towards 23, I think the general consensus is that it's not going to be a great Christmas.
Well, I think that's true. And I mean, as you mentioned with Ukraine, it's energy, but it's food and the impact of that's going to have. I think the scenario planning is certainly a big area of discussion at the moment, and that sounds theoretical, but I think there's a real reality to that in boardrooms at the moment. And like you say, maybe looking at where to place the bets for 2023. Do you see sort of the whole risk management agenda being discussed a lot more closely? Is there a view that companies are going to be more risk averse in this environment?
I think you've still got this really interesting picture because against the backdrop of all of those, I think probably quite negative, I mean, there's huge, huge opportunities through this. And I think that's the balancing act that the leaders have got, boards have got, is what's the right pace? What is the degree of risk that you should factor in? Or is this an opportunity to be bold? And I think that's a really interesting question. So if you've got a strong balance sheet, if you're in a strong place, I think that probably there's massive opportunity. I think if you're in a weak position strategically right now, it's going to be pretty difficult to emerge. I think that the banks will tighten up. I think for SMEs, it will be a difficult landscape by their very nature. They don't have the access to capital. It can become quite difficult. But I think that this is about good businesses that are strategically aligned will outperform and have real opportunity. And I think they have an opportunity to acquire and consolidate in their sectors and spaces and in their geographies.
Yeah, I mean, you are still seeing huge amounts of M&A, aren't you? I mean, and I'm not just talking about Mr. Musk's offer for Twitter. I mean, there are lots of deals still going on. You know, when you spoke to dealmakers earlier on in the year, they thought it wouldn't necessarily continue, but the appetite's there because the opportunities are there, right? So,
I think that's right. I think that there is a tightening up on acquisitions, but there definitely is an appetite. I think them being clear strategic reasoning, I think, is important. And you know, some deals will fall over. There is a nervousness element around things, but there is still activity, and of course, you've still got a massive amount of disruptive business models that are coming through. Yeah. So, you know, you can't stand still in that environment. And I think that there is faster movement. I mean, I mean that in the physical sense, and that movement is also creates more opportunities. So you've got an equalization going on of industries that have been quite constrained, and what are the implications of that? So you've got some pretty complex things that are manifesting itself. But that sort of environment of forward planning, I think you've got to be comfortable in an ambiguous world.
Yeah, no, absolutely. If shifting it onto the board, and we talked about scenario planning there, but if you were, do you think it's there will be lots of misalignment within boards. So do you think it's going to be a more robust environment for discussions? And I say that because I was quite surprised looking at some of the findings from our growth company research, which will be released shortly. And over 50% of respondents said that their chair doesn't add value. That's significant, isn't it?
Well, it's huge. And I don't know whether that's because it's been a very operational period sort of through COVID. And so in some ways it was about getting on with it. And actually the chair probably was very supportive through that, You're getting into some more complex sort of pieces. I mean, board and executive alignment is essential right now. I mean, you know, there is no question that boards are looking at executive teams and looking at whether they are match fit. There is real pressure on executives to perform. I think conversely, boards that are unconnected with the business and the landscape that they're in, I think will struggle as the pace grows and as the operational footprint shifting. So, you know, if you take our Asian trip, several organisations were there where the board from those organisations, they haven't had any involvement in the region for 3 years. They're not visible, and there is a big gap between the viewer on the ground and the perception in the boardroom, and that gap is the bit that we've got to see narrow, and it's got to narrow probably from both sides getting closer together, and I think if it doesn't narrow, then you're going to have big problems.
Okay, there's a shift as well going on. So last year when we last did the growth company research, we asked where does the quality of debate in like the senior leadership and board need to improve, and strategy was identified as the key area. Now it's performance, which plays into this idea, doesn't it? That it is a more operational environment. Do you expect to see that to continue over the coming months?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing is that there is movement now, and so that strategic debate is more. There is more capacity to do it. I think that people think these things though suddenly happen overnight. I think it is a relearning. And so, but are we able to do that now? And you're seeing that, you know, you're seeing offsites, you're seeing team sessions, that sort of bring it together. I think that the operational performance piece is just going to be so critical if we do go into this tightening of the marketplace. It's why we see sort of strong operating businesses probably outperforming those that are more disconnected to the business. And I think that there's been a big dialogue in Critical Eye about the strength of management in your organization. So yes, the leadership, board, the leadership, then the management, because effectively that really, you lose that management structure. And I think that's a really big subject. And if you amplify it then on a global scale, I think it's absolutely massive. And so that alignment between the strategy and execution, I think is where the real alignment needs to be clear.
Okay. What would you say folks, obviously we do a lot of work with non-executive directors and sort of coming through. For new NEDs joining a board, quite an intimidating environment to walk into, isn't it?
I think it is. I think there's always with all these things, an element of luck. I think if you've got a good share in there, I think that you know it'll be a good environment. But this will be a difficult environment. For boards, particularly for listed businesses where they're giving full guidance, where you know quite quickly you can be in a difficult position as a board, and then can be in terms locked down, where essentially there's real scrutiny, there's real pressure, and you know that doesn't help debate. So if you look at that sort of when that pressure builds, it's quite hard for a first time non-executive not to add to the pressure, which essentially one of the things you've got to do there is try and release pressure from the executive team. And I think that's not an easy time. I think it's not an easy time to be a first-time non-executive in this environment today, because, you know, those reference points experience. In saying that, on a hugely positive thing, this is a point when you really can access the business beyond the sort of that board environment. You know, you can do site visits, you can pop up, and I would implore any non-executive who's on a first-time board to get very close to the business. That doesn't mean take people's times up, but show interest, turn up at the operations, and learn about it so you can influence more. And I think that A, you'll listen more, and B, you'll drive more value. And I think that's the really important thing there.
Yeah, okay. Across the different pieces of research that we do, there's a common theme that's emerging, and the stats seem to be getting higher. So I was looking at our Human Resources Director research, which was released recently, and it's saying that 91% of HRDs think the management team are too inward-looking. I think that's what does that mean? You know, what would that mean in a negative context? But there is a view, and it's across the different pieces of research that we do, that there is too much insularity, which you would think is dangerous in this environment. Again, is that reflective of what you hear and see in the market?
I think that you've always had that to a large extent, because the very nature of a high performing executive role means that you've got 24/7 stuff coming at you. And so the element of being sucked into the organization. And I think that what you've then seen through COVID is in some ways the reflection points and the interaction points have been massively reduced, because, you know, you go to an airport, you've had time on a flight, as we did to Asia last week. You know, you're getting outside of your normal structure. You meet people on the plane. And so there is natural different access points. They've not been there. And you've then got full diaries of virtual. And virtual just means it's packed. And I think now that is the real challenge of how do you execute when the execution environment has increased massively, and yet the need for you to evolve yourself and have those wider reference points is more important than ever. And the convergence of issues means that you've got to have wider reference points outside your industry, because there's no question now is that understanding how things link together, I think, is absolutely essential. You're seeing partnerships coming out now as a really key differentiator in the marketplace. So that element of, you know, how to execute strategically isn't just about you, it's about an ecosystem. And that ecosystem piece, I think, is really important to success right now.
Yeah, and it does, it plays into this idea which we've discussed, that there has been a huge focus internally on people, on performance, and that's being reassessed now. So it for me, I think I'm not necessarily surprised by that, but you would expect it to change, wouldn't you? Because there does need to be an external focus. You do want your leadership team to be thinking about the customer, like you say, thinking about partnerships and innovation, and ways to drive growth in the sort of medium to long term. Is that what you see the good companies doing?
Yeah. I think it naturally does come back to a certain extent with the trade shows. I mean, I think generally most people don't feel confident that they build those virtually. And so I think that physical rooms does naturally create more of that interaction. I think the other side of it, that focus on customer is so key at the moment, you know, really, and it's understanding the customer's pressure points. So it does play to businesses that effectively are customer centric and really do have that relationship where they can understand the pressure points that the customer's under. So it's complex at the moment, but no doubt about it. Those organizations that are curious, empathetic, and really close to their customer are going to really outperform.
Yeah, that idea of being close to the customer. So in a number of conversations that I've been having, there's a realization now that actually they're too distant from the customer, that the speed of decision making isn't fast enough, that they're not able to adapt. And, you know, clearly it's been well documented that a lot of behaviors have changed over the past 2 years, and there's almost a process of reconnection that's going on in certain industries, obviously not all. Are you seeing a lot of restructuring going on in organizations as they're seeking to, you know, maybe flatten the structures and again, get that agility into the organisation, which allows for faster decision making?
I think that, yes, there's a massive amount of that going on. I think there's a massive amount of continuation of digital transformation in terms of removing processes that can be digitized and so that you can move faster. I mean, I think if you look at processes where that continue, the FS sector, you know, you look at what you can do now digitally that you couldn't have done a year and a half ago, it's incredible. And I think that's the really exciting bit. And then the alignment of that to make sure that it is customer enhancing, I think is the opportunity and the excitement.
I think organizations have realized that maybe they've got a leadership gap because the ability to make decisions. So moving to that, they've been too centralized, and you could get away with that when you could travel freely, obviously when everything was open. But once things closed down, you started to see where the gaps really were in terms of talent. So again, I suppose it's companies being brave in this environment and actually investing in developing future leaders.
I think that's right. I think on a global business place, you know, there is a drive to local, and that's true in terms of the customer, but also the supply chain. You know, the whole environment has shifted, you know, whether you know, countries are looking at their own digital sort of structure, you know, and their supply chain structure, and then organisations. So that means that, you know, that there is a need for that local support. There is a difficulty, though, between that. You know, I was talking out in Asia last week with a regional HRD where she's not able to travel into one of the main markets, because actually not because of anything other than there's a cost embargo. And I think that's not a good behavior. You know, that effectively is, you know, there's a real need there. And so I think you've got to get the balance right between that. And I think that's the bit most organizations are grappling with, that right balance between the sort of structures at regional and global, and then the local operations and the strength and quality of those local operations. And you've got to have a real honesty on both sides about that. But you're right, it's about decision making and execution capability.
Yeah. And I think as well, I think some of the conversations I had, the danger is that you mentioned middle management earlier, that you can remove middle management, that they maybe get blamed for a lot of what's been happening. And then what you find out is you lose knowledge and capability there if you look to cut costs and move them out too quickly. So like you say, it's complex, isn't it? It is complex.
I think it's complex. I think that middle management is where there's a real need for investment right now. I think that, you know, the element and the linkage with leadership to mean that you've got the right resources pushing the right agenda, I think is really critical right now.
Yeah. Okay. That point about partnerships that you mentioned as well to build it out, I think that's, again, in some industries and sectors, that's less of an unknown. But it's increasingly seen as essential now, isn't it, to understand, to use the term, the ecosystem that you operate in, to identify those partners that are going to help you engage and be closer to your customer. That's a big topic, isn't it?
I think it is, and I think you see that on both sides of where we work, from a government perspective as well as a company perspective. I think that you look at organizations that can thrive and countries that thrive, they have a real partnership culture. And they recognize, both because you need the resources, you need the skills. And I think that the theory of having them all internal, I think, is becoming a more outdated view of life. Not to say that it doesn't exist, but there's less and less common. Whereas I think they're in a faster paced, faster moving environment, the recognition that at different points you need different skills, you need different capability, and you need different partnerships to provide that, I think is probably really important. Now, I think the balance with that is that you've got to always have control of your own strategic agenda. And I think, how do you get that balance right between those things? That's the really interesting thing at the moment, to get that balance right.
Yeah, and that's where the battles are. I think constructive battles. You want to be having those conversations, don't you?
Yeah. You absolutely do. And I think that's where good boardroom debate, I think, is really important, to really look at that 3-5 year plan, to think around culturally how we need to shift and evolve. And that helps also form acquisition and divestment strategies, because, again, that alignment on operational footprint is really important.
Just on the people point, because it is front and centre, again, looking at the research for CFOs, HRDs, it's retaining and developing talent is the number one priority. There's a little stat in the HRD research where 15% of HRDs say they aren't aligned with the strategy. Now, it is 15%. I don't want to make too much of it, but that's a situation where that's there's not going to be a good outcome there, is there? Because the HRD is absolutely at the centre of many of the things we're talking about.
I think that I think is probably a pretty normal 15%. I think it'll be interesting to watch that stat, Mark, as we go towards the back half of this year, where effectively you can argue the economic landscape gets potentially trickier. And as such, how do organisations stick to the strategy and the people agenda around that strategy? Or do they shift and change, and how does that? So I think the gap might get larger on that one if we continue to have the complexity with higher inflation, interest rates going up. Interest rates key for businesses because it means the oxygen's getting more expensive in terms of money. And so as that tightens up, you know, will organizations stick to their values? And I think that's where the HRD's got a key role to play in it, and that strategic debate to try and hold that ground, which is the same debate that's happening globally around carbon footprint, isn't it? Around, you know, in this energy increase, and will countries sort of push back some of the agenda around carbon neutrality?
It's a test of will, isn't it?
It's a really good test of values, will, commitment for us all, I think. And that's, you know, we are all in that same journey.
Do you think there's a slight lag between the, or disconnect between the language of leadership at the moment and the reality of the operating environment that we're in with the economic and sort of wider political situation that we see?
I think that underneath the surface, there is real nervousness about what happens towards the end of the year. And that is definitely there. And I don't think that necessarily manifests itself in terms of daily elements. And it isn't in the number of performance at the moment.
Because of the historical lag,
Because there is a lag in terms of that information coming to surface. And actually, from an accounts perspective, you won't really see it in terms of until probably sort of early 23. So you'll see it in GDP numbers, which you're seeing the rattling around that. But I think that the trends often lag. Data actually is a lag indicator. I think you've got to look for those lead indicators. So, you know, leverage levels going up, insolvency levels going up. I think that those issues are real. And I think that the inflationary pressure is putting real pressure on businesses, to both in terms of for their people and also for their customers. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of talk about empathetic leadership. I think this is an environment where you've got to really be close to your stakeholders.
Yeah. What's your view on what the mindset of leaders should be, if you could sort of summarize it at the moment? Because, again, there are complexities, as you've referenced, but again, I mean, I had a conversation last week, and this is a very large business, and the problem was it's been doing too well. So how do you manage expectations there? And yeah, you obviously, one of the jobs of leadership is to energize people and give them momentum and direction and sort of set the compass points out so everyone's clear on the destination. What's your view? How do you get the language right in this environment?
Well, I think that energy piece is essential. So, I mean, I think that more open, trusted dialogue across the board and the ExCo and the senior management, really important. I think be very close to the business. Look at what your forward indicators are. Put structurings behind us. I think that there is huge opportunity. I think that be careful about forward guidance. So, you know, it is a time to sort of be sensible in terms of predictability. But key thing is stick to your five-year plan. And that's the really important thing. Don't deviate from that. And as long as you do, then you'll be very successful. I think that that clarity towards what you want to be in the future, I think, is where shareholders will buy in to the journey. I think that's going to be really important right now.
Yeah, and I think they want to see that you are thinking in that way about your business model and how it's evolving.
I think that there's no question that you'll need leadership that's incentivized, excited, passionate about the business and is visible. And I think that visible isn't about the end of a Zoom call. You know, I think that there is a need for the leadership and management structure to be visible and to have that. And I think that's true of the board as well. At points of challenge, you know, making sure that you do stand up. Either way, the technology stuff is superb. We can execute faster, you know, but that cultural alignment and trust bit is so important.
Yeah, it's bigger, isn't it? The questions that that need to be answered. Okay, Matthew, I'll wrap it up there. Thank you for that. Thank you to you all for listening. And then if you do have any feedback on these podcasts, if there's anything you'd like us to discuss, then please do get in touch and let us know. But thank you again. Have a good day, everyone.
Take care, Mark. Look after yourself.
Take care, Matthew. Bye.
Bye.